We also want to welcome each one this morning to the house of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Fred, for that sincere prayer and for each one of you who have been praying. You know, as we get older, there's some things in life that make us excited. I was so glad to see Harold Priscilla here this morning. Last evening, I turned the radio on to Sunday School Meditations, and Brother Harold was still on the firing line, almost felt like shouting hallelujah. All he went through, and God has blessed him, and he explained them scriptures so good last night. Thank you, Harold. The subject this morning is entitled, The Test of Temptation. A young man by the name of Bob was given definite instructions by his mother not to go close to the swimming pool. It was a pond close to their home, and he was to stay out of it. Short time later, he was taking care of some responsibilities, and when he went to do them, he took along his bathing suit, just in case he was tempted. That's making provision for the flesh. But that was completely different from another person, a black man, who said, when I pass a watermelon patch, I can't keep my mouth from watering. But he said, I can run. How about us? Have we decided sometimes we want to lose some weight, but we go to the grocery store, we buy a pack of cookies, just in case. You know, the devil, day after day and hour after hour, is putting temptations before each one of us. And how are we responding to these temptations? In Romans 13 and verse 14, the Word of God says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Paraphrasing that, but ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help you live as you should, and don't make plans to enjoy evil. I think that's pretty good advice for all of us. Unless we realize that all evil temptations come from the devil, we will fall into his traps. We need to realize that Satan is our constant enemy. When we're unsaved, he does all possible from keeping us to know the will and accepting salvation. But when we're born again, he does all that's possible to get us to turn away from our Savior and live for self. This is done by tempting us through our natural body, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the proud of life. What does the body crave? What is pleasing to your eyes? What do you live for? Satan tempts everyone. He uses different temptations, but he tempts everyone, the rich as well as the poor, the young as well as the older, the president as well as a factory worker, the father as well as a mother, the husband as well as a wife, the minister as well as a layperson. All are tempted. He even tempted Jesus Christ. There's different methods of temptation are used of the devil to attack us. He knows our weak areas. What tempts you may not affect me, but what I am weak in, you may be strong. Remember, the devil knows our weak areas, and he'll attack them. In James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, give four facts about temptation. First of all, it is always present. Secondly, it is never prompted by God. Thirdly, it follows a consistent pattern. And fourthly, it thrives on inconsistent thinking. This morning, I want to look at some examples from God's Word of temptation. No one, as I said, is exempt from temptation. Let us look at God's Word for examples, one after another. Eve was tempted through half-truths and promises. She passed along the temptation to her husband, and who was held accountable to a greater degree, and his wife. Cain was tempted with envy and resentment and became the world's first murderer. Lot was tempted by the well-watered plains of Jordan, longing for wealth and prosperity. His choice cost him his wife and his family. Joseph was tempted through romantic advances of Potiphar's wife, but he fled from the temptations because of his commitment to his God. Job was tempted by losing earthly things that were dear to him. Even his wife turned against him, yet he clung to his integrity. Even the Son of God was tempted in all points like we are, but Jesus did not yield, and we do not need to yield. The Apostle Paul was tempted to glory in the special revelation given to him, and after praying 3 times to have his thorn removed, he learned that his strength was made perfect in weakness. On and on we could go. Life is full of temptations, yet temptation is not itself is not sin. Every temptation gives us an opportunity to make the right choices to become all the stronger by resisting him. Secondly, we want to look at some examples from parents and older Christians. How are we as parents and older Christians responding to temptation? You know, it's easy for us to criticize the young people. But what about us? We should be examples. Our families and our neighbors are observing our response to temptation. What are they seeing in your life and in my life? In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Are those about us seeing it? Our children seeing it? Our neighbors seeing it? What about the temptation to neglect personal daily devotions? I'm saddened sometimes when I hear that, and family devotions, I hear that some families don't even have devotions in their home together. God pity such families. Well, we're too busy. It's an excuse from the devil. The temptation to neglect teaching our children what means yes and what means no in our homes. And that's happening in many homes today. Children don't know right from wrong. When we yield to the temptation of peer pressure and neglect to uphold God's word as a final authority, we are giving our families the wrong understanding of who God is and what he expects of us, our responsibility to him. Eli was this type of father. He was a judge. But in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 3, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his son made them fell a vow, and he restrained them not." That's very serious stuff, brothers and sisters. He was a very poor, spiritual, weak father. How are we today as fathers? Just as the responsibility with Adam and Eve was laid upon Adam more fully, so it's laid upon us as fathers and grandfathers. If our children do not learn to respect authority when they're young, you can expect a lot of problems down the road later on. It's a great temptation when other families and other churches do not take God at his word in holiness and modesty and separation, and we wonder what happens. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." If we expect the Lord to use us in the increase of his kingdom, it's so important that we have led our families according to his holy word. It's no use we try to fake it. It has to be genuine. I have been blessed, by the way, a number of brothers and sisters from Pennsylvania 25 years ago felt the call to move to Maine and responded as families, were parents who loved the Lord and lived under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, have remained faithful. They weren't perfect, but these brothers and sisters purposed in their heart to be channels for the Lord. They realize that their children are the gifts from God, and their first mission field was their children, and then their precious children, and they had to be careful not to neglect ministering to their spiritual needs, even though at times it may not be as rewarding as public service. Also, I'm sure the temptation was always there to give in a little here and a little there to be like the world around them. After carefully planting God's seed to fulfill God's desire in their homes, they were given a special call to take part in this new outreach of God's church. Because of this commitment to God, God's will in their home life, the Lord has richly blessed the outreach of the ministry at Brunswick, Maine. It is so exciting to observe the results. Last Sunday evening, they were asked, the youth under 25 years old, to go in the front of the church. And I just could have shouted, praise the Lord, for what I saw. Young people, godly youth who loved the Lord and lived by His word and were not ashamed. The example of our lives as parents and older Christians helped mold their lives either to be worldly or to be holy. And it's up to us to share that message. As they observe our love for the Lord, for the value they see we put on worldly pleasures and desires, or the eternal values that Jesus died for, that His name would be exalted and sinners would come to a Savior. The temptation is upon all of us to live for self and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season rather than dying to self, sin, and the worldly allurements. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 is the verse we're familiar with. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Reading out from a paraphrase, and so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind He can accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but by a new and different person with a fresh newness in all that you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how His ways will really satisfy you. Others coming after us, seeing us presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Are they observing us conform to this world, its pleasures, its goals, its pleasures? Are they seeing the reality of renewed mind that demonstrates a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Just how well are we responding to daily temptations? You know how you're responding. I know how I'm responding. What will be written about your life, about my life, when we're finished here? Our response to temptation will be reflected in our offspring. What will it reveal? Thirdly, Jesus, through His word and the Holy Spirit, provides victory over temptation. We can be victorious. Let's remember that, loved ones. A young girl made this statement. If only I could see my temptations as I see other people's, they wouldn't be a bit hard to fight. Other people's temptations look so ugly and mean and foolish, but my own temptations come with a rosy light about them, so that I don't see how hateful they are until afterwards. She said there are two ways to see temptations in her true light. One is you pray about it. Bring them in the clear light of God's presence and His Word. And the other is to see how they look if someone else yielded to it. First, we need to realize there's a devil who desires to damn your soul, my soul, our families, our children, our grandchildren. He's out to get them. We better be on our guard. In 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he devour. It says, Zechariah 3:1, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Fathers, is Satan standing next to you to tempt you to mislead your children? Sobering fact, isn't it? We need to realize there's a daily battle with the devil, starting with our minds. The scripture tells us we are created beings who are responsible to a holy God. For every thought, 2 Corinthians 10:5. For every word, Matthew 12:36. For every deed, Romans 2:6. For every motive, Jeremiah 17:10. And for every attitude, 1 John 3:20. Do you and do I really want to resist temptation? Have you ever prayed to God for help to overcome some darling sin which deep in your heart you cherished and did not really want to escape from it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, I like to paraphrase. But remember this, the wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you, and no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can stand up against it. For He has promised, and He will do what He says. He will show you how to escape temptations. Temptation is power, so that you can bear up patiently under it. James 4:4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Paraphrasing that, you are like an unfaithful wife who loves her husband's enemies. Don't you realize that making friends with God's enemies, the evil pleasures of this world, makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy the evil pleasures of the unsaved world, you cannot also be a friend of God. That's tough stuff, but it's God's word. Some questions we need to answer. I need to answer. You need to answer. Will these thoughts and words and actions mar my fellowship with God when that temptation comes, whether in our mind or actions or whatever? Secondly, will this action lead me? Where will it lead me? Will the sin you flirt with or I flirt with drag you down or drag me down the next 30 years? Thirdly, will it cause anyone else to fall? I'm thinking of a neighbor, a husband or wife, or children, or grandchildren. An example of that, back in 1964, was when miniskirts were introduced in the world. And during the next 5 years, forcible rape jumped 67%. So we see what sin does. It has results. It affects others. We try to say, well, it's the other person's fault. We need to take responsibility. To realize God's presence, I believe, is the one sovereign remedy against temptation. We realize that the Spirit of God lives within us as God's children, and He wants to direct us and guide us, and we realize He's with us all the time. It'll help us to overcome temptation as we call out to God. Number one, we need to detect and reject any love for this world's ways, approval, or applaud. Second, we need to confess all past sins. Many of us have secret closets that we're not willing to deal with certain sins. We better deal with them. They're there. Thirdly, we need to pray asking God for daily victory and then be submissive to the Holy Spirit's promptings. He's concerned about our life. He's concerned of how we live. He's concerned how much we love the Lord. He's concerned about our flesh and blood and their destiny. James chapter 4 and verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. These temptations are evil. These temptations are not pleasing to the Lord. 5, make God's holy word a part of your daily life. In Matthew 26 and verse 41, it says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we all have that flesh to deal with. In Romans 6, I think this is a portion of scripture needs to be very much a part of us. You know, the old nature cannot sin of its own. It needs our body. And that's why our body has to die with the sinful nature. In verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in? We need to die to that sin, that temptation. Verse 6, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We should be alive spiritually. In verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are you to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. What am I, what are you yielding to in my daily walk? Colossians 3:1 says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. I like to quote, you shall have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ in God. What is our desire? Is it for this world? For the sins of this world? Or have we died to them? I believe that every Christian has spiritual authority over Satan through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit living within us can give us victory if we will submit to him and resist Satan. Secondly, we need to remember the need of having pure hearts. James 1, verse 14, for every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, enticed. Thirdly, we need to be on guard for hidden desires, longings, and lusts. These give Satan the freedom to bring temptations. And all of us need to be careful of revenge. We have all been hurt by someone in life. How do we deal with revenge? I think many have fallen to this temptation that the devil has given them. Matthew 6:15 says, "If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Loved ones, when the Holy Spirit reveals our hidden motives, God will give every one of us the grace, which is the desire and the power to be purified as we humble ourselves before Him. It is possible to be victorious through Jesus Christ and His blood. The Apostle Paul expressed this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." That's where the victory is. A woman shared this story. She was awakened by a very strange noise of pecking. When she got up to see what it was, she saw a butterfly flying back and forth inside a window pane. It was very frightened. You could tell it was. And outside, a sparrow was pecking and trying to get in. The butterfly did not see the glass and expected every moment to be caught. And the sparrow did not see the glass and expected every minute to get the butterfly. Yet all the while, that butterfly was as safe as if it had been million miles away. Because of the glass, the glass was between her, the butterfly, and the bird. And so it is with we as Christians. Satan cannot touch the soul that has the Lord Jesus Christ between himself and him. When the test of temptation comes, and loved ones, it will come, be sure your daily walk with the blood and your confession between Satan, you can have victorious over sin. God bless you.